This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Looks right, throws the middle. Got Tonyan! Touchdown! Oh, he threaded the needle to Robert Tonyan!
Good morning, Metroplex. Yes, that was Monday Night Football, which we already talked about yesterday. But, of course, with Aaron Rodgers, things drag on. I was listening to the radio driving in, and I was like, are these shows this desperate? Why are they talking about Aaron Rodgers still? It was a win over the Lions, whoop-de-doo. And then I came in and saw Aaron Rodgers going after media members again. We know about the troll, JerMichael Finley, the former tight end who has made the media rounds, saying, oh, I think that Jordan Love should play by week four. I just don't see it. I think I can see it between his helmet. I can see it in Aaron Rodgers' eyes that he does not have it, that he doesn't have that same fire. And then on the CBS pregame show, Bill Cowher and Nate Burleson apparently did the same thing and went in on the defending MVP.
Let's face it, he is a complicated, awkward, brilliant, unbelievable football player. And I kind of think he's bored in Green Bay, to be honest with you. And I think today he's going to have a bounce back game against Detroit because this is just in his background. Look, he's got a man bun this year. He found his inner peace in the offseason. Right. Everything's going to be fine in Green Bay. Everybody just needs to relax.
Okay.
He's got a man bun.
He does.
What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah. So he's got a man bun. He's found his inner peace, but he looks bored. Has anyone ever watched Aaron Rodgers play football before? Is this his rookie year? Is he Jordan Love?
He's not Jordan Love.
He's not Jordan Love. This just in. He's played before. Aaron Rodgers has always had a nonchalant look.
Always.
Always. Now, when he's playing great and making, and again, I don't love Aaron Rodgers, but let's stop making up takes here and manufacturing things to try to pile on. When he's laid back and cool, it's, oh my God, he's this heartless assassin. He makes it look so easy. And then when he runs his mouth and creates all this drama in the offseason and he looks lackadaisical and really chill, it's, I think he's bored. I don't know if he cares anymore. What? Act like you've watched him play before. Like Bill Cowher, Nate Burleson, Boomer Esiason. You think Aaron Rodgers, so does he care now that he threw four touchdowns? How does that work? How does that shift? What are you talking about? Where are we going with this? I want to hear one of these people put their name on a statement saying Aaron Rodgers is going to suck this year or that Green Bay won't be good. Man up.
You did.
I said that Green Bay won't be a legit championship contender. I don't believe they'll be as big a threat as they've been the past two seasons. I think the drama will eventually
catch up to them.
Catch up to them and make Matt LaFleur want to go crazy. That was my hot take of the season. But do I think that Green Bay is going to win the NFC North? Yes. Do I think that Aaron Rodgers is still going to play like an MVP? I drafted him in one of my fantasy leagues. Someone should step up and say, I think this team's going under 500. I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to show us he's no longer capable of being an MVP. I mean, that's what you're trying to suggest, right? What are you trying to get at? He doesn't care. He doesn't have the fire. He doesn't have the passion. So I don't blame Aaron. Now, maybe I blame him for talking still, but I don't blame Aaron for having these feelings when he goes on the Pat McAfee show and starts calling everybody out.
I think all these people who are on these shows now believe they're celebrities and they believe that they have this platform to use it to say whatever the hell they want. And that's how they garner the attention. That's how they get promotions. That's how they get to be on multiple networks. That's how they, you know, get their name out there and get a blue check mark and get to go to the Met Ball and whatever the hell's going on. You know what I mean? It's like, that's the society we're in now. It's when I first got in the league in 2005 and you got in there in 2006, I mean, social media wasn't a thing unless you had a MySpace, and it was all about who was in your top five or top 10 if they expanded it. What kind of music you had in the background. And it wasn't about, you know, your social media following, your likes, your, you know, how many views on a page. You know, it's different. It's all about how many impressions you can have for things that you say. So, you know, it's not going to be the, you know, the relax, we're fine, this is 1 week, it was a dud, we're going to bounce back. That doesn't do anything. That doesn't move the needle for anybody. But you start saying some outlandish things about, you know, what I did in the off season and me wanting to be on Jeopardy and not play ball and all this other, you know, ridiculousness that Tom Fanning, you know, told me was out there, which I really didn't see myself. I just think it's that's the state of the media that we're in.
Look, if you want to call him out for being selfish, bad teammate, disruptive, egotistical, arrogant, I think all that is warranted. But when Nate Burleson wants to go and say his disposition was bad on the sideline and Rodgers almost looks aloof and very selfish, judging it with your eyes, Bill Cowher saying, quote, show me you care. Show me it's important to you that the team is more important than you are. And right now I have not seen that. That's an actual quote from Bill Cowher. I think that you sound stupid. There's no way for you to tell it. And you really, worse than sounding stupid, you sound like you lack credibility. Aaron Rodgers has always looked like that, like it's so easy for him out there with his play and his facial expressions. Pretend like you've watched the sport before.
He's always looked a little bit like he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't mean he doesn't care. Like you know, we said this with Amari Cooper. Oh, Amari doesn't care. He's so quiet. Well, that doesn't mean anything. Body language doesn't mean a thing. Now, look, sometimes it can,
like with Cutler. I mean, to me, Jay Cutler had the worst body language of all time. And maybe it didn't mean that he didn't care. It's just like sometimes you can tell when your kid's pouting, right? That's body language.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you can tell when they're sulking and they're getting ready to throw a fit. That's body language. You can tell when she's mad at you. But Aaron Rodgers has always looked like this in a Hall of Fame career.
And now he looks like a Bond villain or some guy out of a creepy 80s movie, that like what David Duchovny's character would be.
He got a haircut.
Did he?
Yeah. He trimmed it up a little bit, so it's not as long as it was after the first game against the Saints.
He was trying to be the first female Bond.
Yes, Bond absolutely. Character. Daniel Craig, not happy, saying Bond's a man. He's like, make it any race you want, but Bond is a man. Make a Bond that is a woman.
You got to agree with him.
Make a completely different character that is a woman, so it's her own role, and don't just, you know, make James Bond a woman, which doesn't make sense because you couldn't name it
James. All right, back to Rodgers.
You want to claim that he has bad body language, that he doesn't care. You know, you can make up any rationalization for good or bad play that you want. We can all do this, and we all do this. Well, you know, this guy's got good play because his coach is great. Oh, this guy's got good play because he was always great. And it's whatever I thought in the previous, that's what I'm going to use as the new narrative. If you don't like Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be he's sulking. He's got bad body language. It's time to bring in Jordan Love.
Yeah.
JerMichael Finley obviously doesn't like Aaron Rodgers for whatever reason. Don't know why.
Yes.
Don't know what the reason is, but for whatever reason, he doesn't like Aaron Rodgers. I don't know why Nate Burleson or Bill Cowher would have this issue.
Hot take, man. Beginning of the NFL season. All the reporters saved their hot stories for Sunday morning, even though the news took place on Tuesday, Wednesday. They got to save it for Sunday morning. And then, you know, it's like Drew Brees. NBC made Drew Brees. They said, you got to come out with a bang. Do you believe Tampa Bay is going to win the Super Bowl? They're in the opener against the Cowboys. And Mike Tirico set them up for it. First sentence of Drew Brees on NBC Football Night in America was, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will not repeat. And that's the world that we live in. Aaron Rodgers is right on that.
Bold take there, Drew, saying somebody's not going to repeat. You got a 31-1 chance that they're not, whatever it is, that they're not going to repeat. Pretty good. Pretty bold. Pretty bold.
The good news is from that Packer game, they found Aaron Jones' necklace. The necklace that his dad gave him that had some of the ashes in it. I thought he had a pretty mature response afterwards. He's like, hey, if I lost it on the field when I was playing, there are worse places, basically. It was right there at Lambeau where he always watched me play. His father passing away because of COVID complications. But the field crew went and found it overnight and gave it back to Aaron Jones.
Man, like, lucky he didn't do it with, like, mowing the lawn. And then they ran over it. Lucky that they found it. And, like, you know, one of the trainers and the field crew, grounds crew, if you want to call them that, were the ones that were able to find this. I mean, you want to talk about a needle in a haystack and all that grass. Especially up there, like.
I'm looking at it as well. Like, it's a little, like, black football-shaped thing that contains the ashes.
Pendant, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, so it's not huge, and it's not little. It doesn't look shiny to me. Like one of these things that would stick
like
out.
Gold.
Yeah, that would stick out on a on green grass.
Yeah, it's not like an urn pendant. You know, it's like a black onyx. And it definitely blended it well. By the way, you know, this has happened several times at Lambeau Field. People rushing the field to dump ashes onto Lambeau Field. The fine, by the way, is anywhere between $1,500 and $3,000.
Worth it.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Worth it to say, hey, you got the family members on the field.
Yeah, I put Nana by the 20-yard line.
Yeah, right. Lucky it didn't get stepped on.
No.
Yeah. 330-pounder stepping on this thing with a cleat. I don't think it would survive.
Oh, couldn't imagine.
So the necklace was found, so that's all good. Man, whoever is running, Aaron Rodgers is calling for jobs. I'm calling for a job as well.
No.
Whoever is running the Twitter account of the Jacksonville Jaguars has to be replaced. Has to be. Do you remember that message? I think Troy read it the other day. After Jacksonville fell to 0-2, they took to their Twitter account and put out a message for Duval. And it basically read, hey, hang in there. We're going to get better. Just stick with us. There's not going to be any group working harder to get this thing flipped and turned around. All right, so they put that out there on Sunday night. Well, the Atlanta Falcons, after they fell to 0-2, put out a quote from their coach, Arthur Smith. We have 15 more to go. We have to put ourselves in a spot to go win a football game. And the Falcons' Twitter account wrote, we're not where we want to be now, but there's plenty of football to be played. Well, the Jags saw this, quoted it, referenced it, and wrote back on Twitter, hey, can I copy your homework? Yeah, fam, just switch it up a bit. So the Jags call out the Falcons for their tweet about being 0-2, and Twitter just latched on. When you're copying off of somebody that has an F in the class too. Weird flex by the Jags. Your PR statement about how your team sucks was too closely related to our PR statement about how our team sucks. Your 0-2 social media post is too similar to ours. You both failed the assignment. So this is the Jags Twitter account unfollowing fans after their first loss, and now they called out the Falcons for putting up a similar message about not winning a game so far this season. Got to replace whoever's running this.
I can't imagine how the Jags and the Falcons organizations as a whole have been terrible of late. I think I have it right here that Atlanta is like, I don't know, 3-14 in the first 8 games of a season over the last 2 years.
Wow.
Like they just don't win games. Yeah, 3-14 in the first 8 games of a season since 2019. They don't win games in the first half, and then they'll win 6-7 and get screwed out of a top pick, even though they were in a position for a top pick this last year, and they wound up taking Kyle Pitts. These organizations stink, and their social media team, to their front office, to their coach, to everything about them, except for a handful of players, is bad. Bad, bad. And when you choose this, I mean, the Falcons and the Jags are in a Twitter fight. Like, let that sink in.
Over being 0-2.
Yeah, and then the week before that, the Titans are stealing their fan base, the Jags fan base, because the Jags unfollowed half of their bloggers and podcasters.
Yes. So those are some of your hump day headlines here on Sean and RJ. Okay. The Seahawks are the worst team in the NFC West. Teddy Bridgewater's career is not over. Derek Carr is a top five quarterback in the NFL, and Micah Parsons is a top 10 D end as well. NFL overreactions or not with Sean and RJ next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Good morning, Metroplex. Thanks for waking up with us. Going to try to get you to your Friday and your weekend as fast as possible. This is Sean and RJ on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Michael Irvin, the playmaker, is going to join us at 8:40 this morning. Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com. But let's step outside the star for a second and go around the rest of the NFL with overreaction or not.
All right, let's see here. Are these overreactions? Are these underreactions? Are these just, you know, statements that mean absolutely nothing? Number one, the Seattle Seahawks are the worst team in the NFC West.
Ooh, that's very difficult to start off. The Rams are the best team, in my opinion. The Cardinals are the most surprising right now. I had San Francisco in the playoffs. Now I have every single team in this division making the playoffs. They only have one loss on the year. That was Seattle dropping that game to Tennessee. Yeah,
in overtime.
A game that they probably should have won. I will say false. They are not the worst team in the NFC West. I would probably take the Cardinals as the last place team right now, even though they started off 2-0, if they played on a neutral field, I would probably pick Seattle over Arizona and maybe even over San Francisco as well.
Yeah, I think Seattle is not the worst. I do think it might be Arizona. We're gonna find out what San Fran is all about. I mean, they've won two games that were closer than they probably should be. And the Rams had a tight one.
Against teams that aren't great. I mean, right. San Fran had a nice start to their season. At Detroit, at Philly, yeah, you were on the road. But the Lions and the Eagles, no one had them being very good this year. And now you're going to get Green Bay, Seattle, at Arizona in your next three.
Arizona, clearly to me, has the most impressive start. They've beaten the two best teams in terms of who they've played. Only because the Rams have played two teams that don't have a quarterback or have different quarterbacks from their playoff run last year. Even though the Rams have looked more impressive than Arizona has. Arizona, I think, has the better wins.
And the Cardinals should have lost that Vikings
game
as well.
Yes.
37-yard field goal that was missed. I thought I saw a headline today that Mike Zimmer did not play any of their 11 draft picks. Their 11 draft picks did not play offense or defense Sunday against the Cardinals. That's building the right way.
They should be 2-0, the Vikings. They lost in overtime to the kicking killed them, you know, with Cincinnati in week one. And then this one. You know, they should be 2-0. But those are good wins by Arizona. Okay. Let's get to Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons is a top 10 NFL defensive end right now.
Overreaction. That's a little bit too much.
Name names.
You want me to name 10 defensive ends? He's got to do it for more than 1 week, and I'd like to see it against a right tackle who we actually recognize. But a top 10 defensive end, I think an interesting question that you posed to one of our insiders, can we definitely say that Randy Gregory is a better defensive end than Micah Parsons? I got to see it more than just 1 week. I mean, am I going to say he's better? I mean, you rip off some names like, I mean,
he's not Khalil Mack. We're not putting him there. Yeah. Like, let's be fair.
You know, like, you know, TJ and, you know, Chandler Jones and these guys. Yeah. I'm not going to say he's a top 10 defensive end yet. Are you?
No, I'm not going to say top 10 yet. I think that if he were to stick there, he'd be top 10 maybe by the end of next year. But I think he's on that trajectory if he stays there. And we all know. And look, if I'm Micah, I want to stay there too. Have you seen the salary difference between defensive end and linebacker?
Right.
It's like $7 million a year at the top end.
Absolutely.
So I am definitely pushing to stay there. He's got moves, dude. This guy's got moves. He is.
Isn't it amazing how he blew up after this week at defensive line when week one, there were memes being made of him getting twisted around, turned and confused by Tom Brady at linebacker?
He can't cover. Why would you put him at linebacker? He's a defensive end.
Play the run. Rush the passer.
Yes. Play the run. he's this team's best pass rusher.
Only one NFL player had four quarterback hits and a sack in week two. That was number 11 from the Dallas Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys. All right, so. Not top 10, but he's got on his way. Mac Jones, next overreaction. Mac Jones is the only quarterback drafted in the first round this year that will get a second contract with the team that drafted him.
No. Trevor Lawrence is going to get a second contract.
Now, remember the stat. 40% of first-round quarterbacks get second contracts.
Yeah.
So, 2 of 5. There was 5 this year, which means only 2 of them historically are going to get that second deal.
Yeah. That was a great exercise. I'm still going to say, now look, I don't think, like, the Patriots haven't been lighting up the scoreboard. I think that Mac Jones has been getting a little bit more props than he deserves only because the other guys have struggled so much or not played. Like, Zach Wilson right now, you would say, has been an F. Trevor Lawrence, you could say, has basically been a D. I guess there's no Fs or E. E, as my elementary school would have.
There's Fs.
An F for Zach. I'm just throwing this out there. Mm-hmm. A D for Trevor Lawrence. And, I mean, the Patriots scored 16 points in week one. They did score 25 points in week two. But I don't know if Mac Jones has been living up to the hype of the preseason. Now, that can speak to how much we overhyped the preseason. He's thrown for 186 yards and 281. He threw for 186 against the Jets in the win. He's thrown for one touchdown this season. So I don't know yet. I don't know yet if we crown Mac Jones. But Trevor's going to get a second deal. And then obviously everyone is going to be looking to Justin Fields and Mac Jones. But to answer your question, no, he will not be the only one to get a second contract. I don't know if he gets a second contract yet. We'll see.
The two quarterbacks at the bottom of the NFL's efficiency numbers, QBR and DVOA, are Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Two worst.
Do you have Max? His QBR for the season is a 53.6.
That is 18th.
Okay.
That is right now sandwiched between Lamar Jackson. I'm sorry, Lamar and Baker Mayfield, right in that same area.
He's completing 74% of his passes, though. 74%. Yeah. One touchdown on the season. No interceptions for Mac and Cheese.
All right, so I think that Mac is not the only quarterback. I do think Trevor Lawrence will get a second contract. Derek Carr is a legit top 10 NFL quarterback, and the Raiders are an 11-win team.
Well, he's a top 10 quarterback. You know, apologies, not in order yet, but maybe they should be getting prepared for Keyshawn Johnson, and I would be one to maybe get that apology ready. But is he a top 10 quarterback in the NFL? Obviously, you have Brady, Dak, Rodgers, Mahomes. I would personally, you know, probably throw Stafford in there. Herbert is a stud. Oh, Russ. And then you get to your discussions with your Matt Ryans of the world. I know that you still love Tannehill, Baker Mayfield. Yes, he's definitely a top 10 quarterback. No doubt about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have Matt in there anymore. I think he's getting a little old.
Okay.
I wouldn't have him in there anymore. Baker's tough one.
Maybe. I mean, you can argue Carr's had a better start to the year than Stafford, than Herbert, than Tannehill. Yeah, he definitely a top 10 quarterback.
I'll give Stafford, Herbert, and Tannehill the fact that they are breaking in new systems. Tannehill, you know, Arthur Smith left. Herbert's got a new head coach, and Stafford switched teams. So I'll give them, you know, I think it's fair to give them the benefit of the doubt here, that the terminology, like, you know, what Manning was saying about Goff with the wristband, you know, there's just a little bit of an adjustment period that you have to go through.
So look, I'm not going to buy into the Raiders being a threat. I'll say no, they're not an 11-win team, although they should be 3-0 after this week. I don't trust John Gruden, and I don't trust the personnel decisions that they've made. I just don't. Yes, they beat the Ravens, and I thought they were relying way too much on Darren Waller. And then they beat Pittsburgh, but I don't think Pittsburgh's that good. They're slightly overrated for those who think they're a really, really good team. But now you have Miami at the Chargers, at the Bears at home, and then at Denver, Eagles at the Giants. So the schedule sets up nicely for them, but I will not buy into the Raiders being an 11-win team because of their dysfunction and because of John Gruden. You?
11's high. I think they're a 10-win team, maybe 9. But that schedule, the division stuff, there's no doubt about that. So that's gonna play into it. Denver's no pushover. Autoflex DC Fan Tech saying you guys are forgetting Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson in the top 10 as well, which, you know, I would put Carr over Kyler. I would not put him over Josh Allen. And I probably wouldn't put him over Lamar Jackson either, although I do think that he's far better than people give him credit for. Dave Culley will last more than 2 years in Houston.
Okay, so this year and next year, and then he would be gone or kept around. Will last more than 2 years. I think right now I would say yes, based upon the way they've started. But the pressure, GM's looking out for their own rear ends.
Yeah.
Is Casario there in the armpit going to do it the right way and say, none of this was this guy's fault? This year and next year. Do you have an answer for this one?
I think he is going to last longer than that. I don't know that. I mean,
because now you're about to go through definite losing.
Yes.
Because Davis Mills is starting tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
Davis Mills is going to start. So you're going to have some losing here. And then once they trade Deshaun in the offseason, what are they going to get back at quarterback? So then I'm trying to project what next year is going to be and then what they're going to do with Culley. I'll stop being a wuss and say he'll be gone after next year.
Okay. If they lose, I mean,
I'm rooting for him big time.
They may lose 16 games next year. They're that bad.
17.
I'm sorry.
You think 17. They're going to go 1-16?
1-16. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. So there it is. Some around the NFL overreactions or not with Sean and RJ.
And by the way, really quick correction there. Davis Mills for the Houston Texans. It is Davis Mills the third. Okay. Davis Mills the third.
Your name's Davis. You're probably not a first.
Yeah. Right. So Davis Mills the third. And also since 2002, Davis Mills the third, he will be the 18th starting quarterback for the Houston Texans.
Since when?
2002.
That's 19 years.
Wow.
I mean, I'm looking at these names. I'm like, I totally forgot this guy was a Texans quarterback. Tony Banks was a Texans starting quarterback.
Tom Savage, TJ Yates.
Yeah.
Brock.
Matt Leinart?
Oh, man, I forgot about him.
2011.
Does Jerry Jones agree with us that the NFL taunting has gone too far? And what do you do when you get caught with two girlfriends at the same game?
Yeah.
It happened to an Oklahoma Sooner, allegedly. Let's discuss it next with Sean and RJ right here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I don't know why the National Football League has gotten together and acted like gang activity is a real threat taking place on the field. Like the Crips are taking on the Bloods and there's gang signs being thrown during NFL broadcasts and TV telecasts. I don't understand why they got together and decided to protect the youth of America with their emphasis on taunting penalties this year. And Ron Rivera, seriously, thank you, Michelle Pfeiffer. Ron Rivera has been at the forefront of this. So far, officials have thrown 11 flags for taunting. Through 2 weeks, 11 flags, which is the same number of taunting fouls that were handed out the entire 2020 season. Pete Carroll said that while the point of emphasis was a good thought, it is hard to manage this. And yesterday, we asked Jerry Jones right here on the show if the taunting penalties and emphasis has gone too far.
Well, they've really defined the definition of we're going to make taunting a point of emphasis this year. And so when you go into a season and you've got these this type of behavior, or not behavior, but it could work that way with any penalty. Well, you see a heavy dose of it early because officiating the league is trying to make its point. We're trying to stop that. And so I think that's what you're seeing, and hopefully that'll get back to a level that's ordinary, not extraordinary.
I don't think Jerry likes it at all. Look, you're going to tell me that Jerry Jones approves of people like Michael Irvin showing off their – he disapproves of people like Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders showing off their personalities. Jerry loves to see the passion and the arrogance and the attitude of people. Have we had a Malice at the Palace on a football field that I missed? Has there been a Netflix documentary that was...
A bad one.
A bad Netflix documentary done on a football brawl that I'm not aware of? Because that's what they're acting like. Ron Rivera, quote, you get an example where one guy taunts and then the other guy comes back. The next thing you know, you've got a big fight on your hands. How many fights happen during the NFL regular season, like we see in training camp?
You'll get some skirmishes, but you're not going to get all-out brawls like you do at training camp.
You get the brawls in training camp.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that same thing is happening? You're acting like that's happening during the regular season. I'm not saying I love Jalen Smith swiping when the Cowboys are getting their ass kicked, or he thinks that he has intercepted a ball that skipped and bounced 10 yards ahead of him. I just don't want to see a game decided and a team punished with 15 yards. Now, I do like this. They're not making it first and 25. I think they're just backing up the team 15 yards when it happens before the first down.
Yeah.
I think that happened in the Cowboy game. They just backed them up 15 yards where you start the drive. I do like that versus making it first and 25 because you're killing a drive right off the jump. I don't want to see games decided over stuff like this unless it's blatantly unnecessary.
It's just dumb. I mean, we've moved past this, then we went backwards. You know,
allow end zone celebrations, yeah. And now you kind of like it's like one step forward, which everyone liked the end zone celebrations, and now you do this two steps back.
But you can only do it. You can only do the end zone celebration in the end zone, Sean.
And Ron Rivera said, "Look, we let the guys. You get a turnover, you know, you run down and celebrate in the end zone." He also said, "Don't forget, I was the head coach of one of the teams that drove everyone crazy when we were dabbing all the time with the Cam Carolina Panthers."
Yeah. Now, as the Fantex brings up, you know, like you look like a punk flexing on somebody while they're on the ground. Yeah, like nobody is saying like the standing over somebody and like, you know, hulking out on them is not cool and is not taunting. No, that is probably taunting. That's probably something that you would call. But like Lamar jumping into the end zone and doing a flip,
yeah,
that's not taunting. Like, I'm sorry, that's outside the spirit of the rule.
But what I don't like is that the NFL is trying to harness emotion. That's what they are doing right now. You guys can celebrate and show enthusiasm when you score, but don't do it after you stop a 4th-and-4. Don't do it. You can do it down here, but not here. So they're trying to harness emotion, and you cannot do that to a player.
And let us just judge you. If T.O. is going to go and be an ass or stand on the star or get popcorn or pull out a Sharpie, just let fans have their own reaction to it. It creates another talking point. Oh, my God, T.O. is an all-time great celebrator. Or, oh, my gosh, T.O. makes it all about himself. Oh, Jalen Smith is happy playing the game. Jalen Smith is delusional and unaware. Like, it just creates another talking point. And let us judge people and go after them on social media and Twitter if they're, you know, overly excited or taunting or reacting in a way that we don't think that they should.
Yeah, the NFL wants to stop taunting because they want to stop fighting in the NFL. Well, then don't punish taunting. Instead, punish fighting. Punish guys like Michael Crabtree and Aqib Talib. Punish guys like Javon Wims, the Bears wide receiver who threw the sucker punch, what was it, last year or the year before? Instead, focus on the fighting. Therefore, when you taunt someone, you won't be instigated to fight. Don't punish taunting.
All right, I had a couple different things written down. I think for the podcast that I eventually have one day after getting booted up out of here, I'll just name it like the commercial break. I like that. Makes a lot of sense.
Don't we have that on the app?
Yeah. What? It's called the commercial break?
Oh, no. I just thought that's what our app played all the time.
Yeah. Anyway, the break on the app is our actual show.
That's right. So I just have to bring up some of the things that RJ's been talking to me about in the commercial break. It's just...
Oh, I like this segment.
Yeah, the commercial break.
Okay, because pull the curtain behind Tolos. I'm in a separate studio.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you guys are talking about during the commercial break, so I'd love this.
So it's two examples of RJ not being able to say no to anyone. One cost him money. The other is going to cost him time. The gym and speaking at the ballpark in Arlington.
Yeah, you picked the first one.
Let's do the gym.
Okay.
And then I'll decide whether to include some of the text messages last night on it or not. I'll see where you take it.
Okay.
God, I like this segment already.
The commercial break.
Yeah, so yesterday I went to the gym after the show.
Yeah. Legs?
No, legs are Monday for me.
I got it.
Yeah. So I do chest on Tuesday.
Legs are never for me.
Yeah. So I have this water bottle here.
Turkey legs.
And I left it at the gym.
It's like, oh, man.
So I texted the owner of the gym.
Whoa.
I know, right? We're on a first name basis, me and old Ed. And I said, hey, man, I think I left my water bottle there. It's by the bench.
Now, if that isn't an example of reading a text and hearing how you want it to hear, I don't know what is.
I said, do you mind grabbing it for me? He goes, yeah, I'll have his assistant put it in the office. Just come get it later. So later on, I go, before I was going to my kid's practice, I went to go get it. And I walk in, and there's this guy sitting there, this young kid, I'd say probably somewhere between 18 and 22. He's writing something down. I assume he's filling out like a job application or something. So I just walk right by him. I go in, I grab the water bottle that was in the office. I didn't say anything to anybody. I just grabbed it and left. And the guy was like, hey, man, do you know this lady over here that drives this BMW? And I'm like, and I didn't want to sound like a creeper. I was like, oh, yeah, dude, that I-8, that's a bad car, man. I was like, everybody knows her. So he's like, well, do you know where she is? I was like, yeah, she's like teaching a class. But again, I'm not creeping. I just happen to know the schedule of this place.
Right.
And he's like, oh, well, maybe you can help me out. He goes, I'm trying to raise money. And as soon as he said that, I was like, I'm stuck.
Buy my candy bars?
I'm stuck. No, I'm stuck because I can't say no to people. And I love hearing sales pitches. So I goes, I'm trying to raise money for teen suicide prevention. And as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, okay, I got time.
Yeah.
And then he hits me with the, by the way, you smell great.
Ooh, my line to Roger Staubach.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. I was like, you passed your first sales test. You know, you complimented somebody.
What was it?
It was, it's just a Kenneth Cole body spray.
Okay.
Nothing major.
Not the Nui Scruggs, Jay Glazer.
Oh, the Tyler Candle. I think it's called Diva.
Okay.
No, it wasn't that.
Okay, it wasn't that. And remember, like Sean said, he said that to Roger Staubach. Roger, never forget Sean.
Thanks, Shannon, RJ.
Yeah, thank you, Shannon.
So he says, "You smell great."
Awesome.
And I was like, "Thanks, man. You kind of passed your first test." He's like, "You just left the gym smell like that?" I was like, No. I've been back. I had to pick up a water bottle. Just got out of the shower." I says, "What do you need?" He's like, "I'm 50 bucks away from my goal." And I said, "You failed test part two." I said, "When somebody asks you what your goal is, you double it. You always lie. You always lie. You get more money out of it." And he proceeds to do the most outward flirt I have ever seen another guy do to a guy. He taps me on the arm.
Don't do the voice.
He said, "Stop it."
Nice.
Hits me right in the arm, but he said it in a much
get on the fake cam,
different voice.
Get on the fake cam.
"Stop it. Very bad. You're so bad." I was like, "Thanks, man." Yeah, I just, you know.
Then I get a text message here saying, "I got hit on by a dude at the gym today and totally flirted back."
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
This is the text I got last
night. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all.
You're in a must practice situation.
I know someone in Van County is yelling at their radio right now. "There is something wrong with that."
What does that mean? You wrote "must never skip a practice." I didn't.
You have to practice your flirting skills. Doesn't matter who it's with.
Oh, okay.
You have to practice.
I love it, RJ.
When you're afforded the opportunity.
That's great.
So he goes, "We take card." I was like, "I have my wallet's in the car." He goes, "We take Cash App." I said, "You got Venmo?" And he goes, "No, we don't have Venmo. We have Cash App." And I says, he goes, "You don't have Cash App?" I go, "Dude, I'm like Roddy Rich. Of course I have Cash App."
Yeah, that's where we do our stocks. What's the Roddy Rich? Richie Rich?
No, he had a song where he talked about cash. I think it was like a couple years ago.
All right.
God, RJ.
And when I said that, this kid looked at me like I was, without question, the coolest 40-something-year-old
in history.
So I got flirted on, hit on by a dude.
How much?
And I flirted right back.
50?
50 bucks.
50 bucks.
50 bucks. Good job.
He flirted me out of 50 bucks.
And he said he would have given 100 if he asked for the 100, you know, in the sales pitch. So that's.
He told me I smelled good and it was teen suicide. I was like, "All right, fine, whatever."
Money to just be like throwing around there.
I don't, but I can't say no.
I'm not sure where the correlation comes in with smelling good and teen suicide. But in any way,
yeah.
Good on you. Good on you, RJ.
That's story one. We don't have time for story two, but maybe we'll make a segment of it, the commercial break.
Now, is this considered a benchmark? Because we can't do it.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.